But yes, this is typically the smallest attended room, and that is because most people want more help than just being completely independent. I love this independence, but not everyone feels ready to make that leap. So, now, Lily, you had a question?
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering what you guys do currently. That way you kind of know the experience you have and where you're coming from. Even though we are recording this, obviously it's for other people too, I think it's great to know where you guys are at.
So our daughter currently goes to Foothills Elementary, and I've never homeschooled. I grew up in the public school system, and so this is completely out of my realm. But I am interested in learning more about the possibility of just doing that with her, and I think she would adjust well.
Okay. And is there a specific reason why you are considering making a change?
Yeah, we actually like Foothills a lot. It was hard to get into, and yeah, we didn't want to ever really leave, but we're going to be moving 40 miles away, and so the drive just to go back will be kind of more stress than beneficial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get hurt, and I didn't know of or was aware of any other academies, Christian academies up in that area, mm-hmm. and so right now homeschooling feels the best, just to start with, until we can get our, adjusted.
Where are you going?
We're going to
Vista. What about you guys?
We're currently CC, Classical Conversations.
Looking at other options because I can't teach as well because I... Go ahead.
She had...
I know who you are, Megan.
So she was diagnosed with moyamoya, so she's had brain surgery.
Looking at other options and see what's out there. And right now, my son is in CC, and he wants to stay. So I'm going to have to do something.
But the older one's struggling a little bit as far as the...
So they're in a classical conversations program right now, currently. Yeah. It's good to see you, Megan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember me from... Yeah, okay, Friday morning Bible study. So I was thinking I'm going to grab a chair and come around this front side. Does that sound good?
Are you okay with that?
So let's...
We'll sit.
Hey, is that okay if I sit instead of stand? We could be more intimate.
And then what were you?
I homeschooled my children, and they graduated, so I'm past that point, but...
And your kids went to Heritage, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Which is the PSP program, yeah. And this is Kathy Berglund. She will be at the parent resource table. She currently works with CHEA, which stands for California Home Educators Association. Is that correct? Christian. Okay. Oh, yeah, not California. Not California. Christian. Sorry about that. And there's a wealth of resources and knowledge that you can get from that website. Okay. Try not to sit too far away from me
so that
you could be heard.
I wanted to be...
You need to be heard. Okay. So let's talk about filing the private school affidavit.
And you told me you guys had done that a few times, right?
Originally, we did it.
We don't anymore.
But, yeah.
Does the Classical Conversations program file that for you?
No.
Oh, okay.
They just don't do it.
Oh, they just don't do it. So your kids are off the radar. Okay. You guys have never filed a private school affidavit?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Because the school does that for you. The private school does that for you.
Doing the other one, but I think it's more beneficial to kind of hear everything before we get the assistance. So
we
kind
were
going to
look in the Pacific Coast
Academy, the public school charter.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you won't have to file it because they file for you.
Oh, information perfect. Still is valuable. So.
In case you homeschool full time.
I pretty much just wanted to transfer what my daughters learned at Foothills and use their BJU curriculum.
The BJU curriculum, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right, so let's talk about it. For the filing the private school affidavit, there is a October 15th deadline. It's not a deadline. That's when it actually opens to be able to be filed, which you think is kind of weird because school starts in September, right, a school year. So why would they say you can't start filing your private school affidavit until the middle of October? That seems a little, odd. What it is the public schools, by now this may be incentive for you two to start filing again is the public schools get money every year for your child to be in school. If your child is enrolled in, let's say, a private school, the your student is now under a private school filed with the state, they don't get the money in that public school district that you live in, okay? So that money allotted to them. Now, if you don't file, but you homeschool full-time, the public school system, they're still getting that money.
So they actually don't get that money.
Where does it go then?
The state keeps it. So the money is supposed to, it's kind of like planned that they get the money, but they actually get paid per attendance day. And then the attendance is averaged out over the year. That's the reason why there's such a big push for don't miss school, because the schools are paid by how many days your kids actually go to school. So, but they do plan on it. So they will hire teachers, because if you live in that district, they're assuming that you're going to go to their school.
Mm-hmm. So what does the state do with the money?
State of California does. Waste it somewhere.
They waste it somewhere.
Anything they want.
Okay. So that's incentive, really, to show where you want your money to go. If your student is enrolled in this private school, it's not going to sit in the state's hands now.
Yeah, it is also influential.
Where does it go then? If you're homeschooling full-time.
General funds. Okay. But it is influential, because when homeschool issues come up in the legislature, they look at some of those numbers of how many people have filed the private school affidavit, how many kids are going to private schools. And so even if you file it just so that we can have a larger influence in our state, that does matter.
That will matter. So that when we come along and say, we want more, you know, options for educating our children, maybe the vouchers, you know, that comes up on the ballots all the time, like where we would get that money for our student, because it's our tax dollars, right? So we would get, you know, that money for schooling our child, and you could buy your BJU curriculum that you were talking about. So it would give an influence. So maybe, you know, go ahead and consider filing again. So is it complicated? That's the question everybody wants to know. Like, is it super complicated? On the CHEA website of California, CHEA of California, CHEA, they actually have PSA filing instructions. So they'll walk you through the whole process. And they simplify it for you, help you know how to answer the questions. The first thing you're going to do is pick a name for your school. So back when I was homeschooling my kids and you know, we had to pick a name, we lived on Cornerstone Court. And it was two separate words, Cornerstone. So we said, why don't we name it Cornerstone Christian School, homeschool? So that's what we named our school. Yours could be named, you know, Jones's Homeschool. You know, it could be whatever you want it to be. The most awesome asbestos home, you know, Christian homeschool ever. You know what I mean? It's whatever you want to name your school. So pick a name for your school. There you go. The Academy. I like it. something very prestigious sounding. And then there's even things on here that you'll come across and you're like, I would have no idea how to answer that. Well, like the second thing is a CDS code. They tell you to put in NA because... Where is it at? That's a classic. No, not the class bit. What does that mean? Oh, CDS code. It's a code that doesn't apply to us. So we're not going to fill that out. Now, if I was a private Christian school like our Foothills Private Christian School, maybe that would apply to them when they fill out their school. So that's, you're basically going to become your own private school, just like the one your children are attending at this time. So... but not all the codes are going to apply to us, because we're not having multiple, you know, families registering their kids in with our school. It's just our family. You'll write down the school type. Always pick co-educational, even if you have just boys or just girls. The classification of the school, you know, non-denominational, unless you're Catholic and you want to label it Catholic or something like that. So, you know, or non-religious, because I'm sure there's plenty of non-religious people that homeschool their kids full-time. Mm-hmm. So there's all these things, but this website will walk you through each and every step of that process. So I believe on the parent resource table, there is bookmarks, there's information about CHEA, so that you can find, I think I even have... their pamphlet here with me. And
some of the information
flyer.
Is at the bottom of that lane, if you'll look down at the bottom of option one.
Of option one?
Yeah, some of the links
are
there.
I have it right here. There's information about them and their websites listed. So you can grab one of these flyers and as well in your pamphlet.
And like you said that if I choose Pacific Coast, they will help you.
Now they'll do this for you.
Yeah.
They'll file this for you.
So you wouldn't
you'll
file
be
it
part of their school.
You have to register your child.
Nope, you're just registering your child in their school.
Okay.
And that would be a public school charter. But you would be homeschooling potentially full-time with them. Public school charters have class days and academies and lots of things like that.
You can turn in Christian curriculum samples, but you cannot purchase Christian curriculum with the funds. So you can buy it with your own money,
okay. And
you can, because you have to submit a monthly sample, you can turn them in.
Yeah.
That's very new in this last year. It is considered Christian, yes.
It is.
And it probably does depend on which charter school you're with.
Yeah.
If how accommodating and accepting they are of Christian curriculum. Because the one that I used to use, Springs Charter, we really couldn't turn in a Christian sample.
So from my experience, to answer that specific question, it depends how new the charter school is. Over time, they get audited more and more, and they align with the state more. When you have a first-year charter school, they kind of do whatever they want until someone corrects them. So if you really want to do that and you want to try it out, find a charter school that's brand new, and you could probably get away with it.
Okay.
So, yeah. But then in 3 years, things will catch up, and then that will change to align with the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are the benefits to homeschooling full-time? To start with, you have the freedom to organize your day and school your children how you want, when you want, where you want, which curriculum you want to use. So you have the freedom within your day and your school. It's all your choice. So let's start with when you want to school, the freedom of when you want to do schooling. You get to pick which hours of the day you want to school. Do you want to start school at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.? Do you want to start at 9 a.m.? Do you want to just school in the afternoon or in the evening? Maybe hubby's home during the day, but he works evenings. So you don't do school during the day. You are family during the day. And in the evening, is your time that you do some schoolwork with the children. You pick which days of the week. Maybe you do a 4-day-a-week option. You don't go all 5, and then you have a 3-day weekend. Maybe you actually work over the weekends and you have midweek open. Do you want to work, do your schoolwork on holidays? Because, they give 2 weeks, for Christmas or 3 weeks, and they give 2 weeks at Easter. Maybe that's too long for you guys and you want to work over that, some of that holiday. Or during the summertime, a lot of people will school their kids over summer. They'll sprinkle it in during summer and maybe take a longer break the whole month of December off so they can travel between Thanksgiving and Christmas to be with family or go on vacations.
Mm-hmm.
So, the choice is yours. You have so much freedom in that.
Yeah, we homeschool through the summer so that way we only have to school the whole year about 3 days a week. And that's what works for our family. And then my kids don't forget stuff by the time the fall comes around. But every family works, and like she said, it depends on the involvement of grandparents, your spouse, with the things you make it work for you, and you know when your kids are at their best and when you just can't school anymore. So
I'm going to take the next one.
Sure. You school how you want. So if you have high schoolers, you can do dual enrollment, which means they can attend a community college and get school credit for it as well. So that works out nicely if you have a student who knows they want to get college. And even if my girls are right now don't think they want to go to college, but they can still satisfy some of those high school requirements if they're comfortable taking college classes, even if it's online. Grading rubrics, and I have handouts for some of this stuff I'll give you later if you're interested. It'll also be at my resource table. When you homeschool yourself, unless the curriculum you choose includes how to grade it, that will be a decision you'll have to make because you'll be assigning their grades. So does it, like Sandy said, does it include tests? Is it based on their work samples? Right now, we do a lot of project-based stuff. So the kids will learn something for a whole month and then do a project to demonstrate their learning. There's so many choices out there. Scope and sequence is really what you're teaching and the order that you're teaching it. A lot of us, if we've been to public education, you probably know, you know, this grade you learn about missions, and this grade you learn about this, and they have it very segmented. You learn multiplication in third grade. They're very segmented. The great thing about homeschooling is you can choose. You can reorder things. You can combine things. But you do have to at least a little bit plan ahead for how you're going to teach things and the order that you want to teach them. Again, if you use a curriculum, I'll hand it to you. The state of California has adopted curriculums that they use in public school. Most Christian curriculum, because it's nationwide, does not align completely with California. Honestly, the differences are minimal. I don't really think it matters. But if you go with a charter school, there could be some times where they say, well, you need to submit a sample to say they just, you print something up online, it's not a big deal. Meet the state standards. You choose, again, public school, they have their way of doing it. You can choose to align with the same standards in order that they do. Or, I mean, if you're familiar with some of the other homeschooling methodologies, some of them don't teach math until the end of significant math until the end of elementary school. You can choose to do that. You can also choose to teach to your child's strengths. So if you have a kid that's advanced or is, like, so excited to read, you can teach them to read it when they're 4 years old. It doesn't matter. You can do what you want. Mm-hmm. So there's really a lot of value in that. Sandy has a note about keeping a work sample folder, and that can be important. So similar to the PSA, currently nobody cares, but you never know when those rights could change in the state of California, and so you never know when they could come knocking on your door. So keep a few things or take a picture. Digital stuff is accepted nowadays, so if you don't like stuff, you keep a file, you know, on the cloud somewhere that has some samples of what your students have done.
Yeah, I just always felt like, you know, when I was homeschooling independently, you know, I'd rather just keep every semester I keep a sample from each of their different subjects just to say, okay, here's a folder. Yes, my kids have been learning. This is what they've been learning in case the state ever knocked on my door, like you said. And they are so good that the state of California homeschool program, honestly, is one of the best. They are, I called one time the state of California, the homeschool, the board up there, and I asked, can I skip my child from, you know, sixth grade over into eighth grade? He was doing higher work anyway. I wanted him to do all 4 years of high school, but he didn't need to do seventh grade. He was already doing seventh grade work in sixth grade. And they're like, sure, when you file your private school affidavit, just put down what grade he's in. They were so easygoing about it, like, mm-hmm. No big deal. So I loved that. The charter school, when I asked them if I could skip a grade, they said that he would have to be a year and a half in advance. So he couldn't just know seventh grade work. He needed to know also be beyond eighth grade work, which I'm like, then why don't I skip two grades? But anyway, I digress.
There's some more hoops to jump through.
There's a lot more hoops. And then they'd have to test him in it and all kinds of things. The state of California, for independently homeschooling, they're like, put them in the grade you want to put them in. I was like, great, this is so easy. but even with that said, as easygoing as they are about it, I just want to keep some of their work. Because I'm saying, yes, my student has graduated high school and has done all the things. Well, can I prove that to them? Well, yes, and I can keep a bucket of all their stuff. You know, here you go. You sort through it. See that they did the work. But that's me personally.
Yes, I've never known anybody whose door they have knocked on, but they have the legal right to if they chose to to enforce
that. Something that maybe should be just as a backup.
As a backup.
You could just keep a folder like these little blue folders. Yes. Each school year you write your student's name and which school year it was and grade level, and just each semester, two semesters a year, you take one math sample, one English sample, one history, one science.
It's not a lot.
And put it in there and say, okay, so you have, you know, a first semester and a second semester samples in there, and it shows what they did that year and what books they were using and what they were learning.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to anybody?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But like I said, they could. You never know. Right. And we talked a little bit about some of your different options is you can have mom teach, dad teach, grandparents. I've enrolled grandparents. I've actually enrolled siblings to help teach my kids because I have older siblings and then they have some younger siblings. The great thing with doing a PSA is you can choose if you want to do co-ops, like Classical Conversations is considered a co-op, but there's a lot of other options too. And then you can choose to do some of them, you know, you're joining something that already exists, but you have the freedom to create your own thing as well. informal or formal, you can choose to educate your kids yourself, hire people, do it with friends, whatever you decide to do.
You know, our private school, Foothills Christian School and Heartland Christian School, both started because the moms got together and said, we want to, you know, school our children at home, but they didn't want to do it alone. They wanted to do it with friends and all the kids together. So they started, you know, co-oping the teaching. You know, okay, well, you do the English, I'm going to do the science. And they did that, and then more people wanted to join, and they said, well, we can't, you know, we don't have enough room in our house to do that. And it grew and grew until it became our Christian schools, our private Christian schools.
Right.
But that's how that came about.
Yeah. So. And then you also have a lot of options of how you want to teach your kids. So we talked a little bit about curriculum. You can go with a traditional curriculum, whether it's Christian or whether you go with something approved by the state. But it can include a lot of other activities. Personally, I do not use any curriculum except for history sometimes. So we do all things outside of curriculum. That means a little more work for me, but it means we do more things like read-alouds. We do read-alouds as part of our other subjects. We do... you can do video lessons. I don't have my kids do it because I'm trying to keep them off tech as much as I can, but that's an option. We do a lot of hands-on learning, games, activities, because for most students, they like the science proves that they remember things better when they're not just doing a workbook.
The manipulative.
Yes. So that's the philosophy that I approach. Reading and writing-based. So when we do science and history, there's a lot of reading and writing that goes along with that, and we integrate those subjects, which means less work in just English. You can still choose to do workbooks. Even without a curriculum, you can buy a workbook. You're like, okay, my kid is not understanding fractions, even though I've taught them fractions 3 times. You can say, I'm going to buy a few different things, see which one works for them. You do that for 6 months, and you decide the time has passed. You can take things in or out, whatever you feel like your student needs, at any time than you want, and you don't have to justify it to anybody.
On the contrast of that, maybe a charter or something like that, they would have stricter requirements as far as the books you're using to teach the things?
Not necessarily. So I actually school under a charter currently.
Okay.
So it does mean that you have to have good communication because you always have an overseeing teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We have good communication. I'm very honest about what I need, but I do still have to jump through more hoops. I do have to do these tests a couple times a year or different things like that that I wouldn't have to do.
And she would have to provide samples. So if
yes.
it's just a manipulative or a game for that subject... you would have to somehow still get that on a piece of paper
yes.
or do a picture and then write the kid. You could do a picture of your student, like maybe for PE, they're doing swim classes.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a picture of them swimming. I did that 1 year with my kids, and I said, you know, and I had like 3 different pictures. One was regular, you know, one was a backstroke, whatever. And I had my child write, what are you learning here? I don't know, stroke are you using and what are you learning? You know,
yeah.
So to write a little something about it. And that counted as a sample. So it's in some way for them, you're going to need to provide a sample. So if you're doing these other alternatives.
Correct.
Or them access
yes.
to
and up through eighth grade, it's like manageable for most people. We just started high school this last year. And if my two oldest girls were not highly committed, I would have dropped it a long time ago because they require so much more work for high school than up through eighth. So I know a lot of families who will do a charter school up through eighth grade and then they homeschool on their own.
And I did that
because there's
some of
just
mine. Yeah.
too many hoops and too much work.
I did that with some of mine, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I know you're far away from that, but just something to consider. You guys aren't that far off.
Yeah.
And I just had one question as me starting off. I felt that me being more guided by like a video curriculum option for my daughter and just help me in a way, like what would you recommend? Like I know is there somebody like an assistant or an extra teacher that helps guide you or supports you? Like is there a support system through that? Like BGA, BGU or...
Sandy, do you want to answer?
Here,
yeah.
But you said Pacific Coast, that's a little, they might not accept that because it's considered Christian.
They wouldn't accept it as a sample, but you can still do whatever you want.
Okay.
But as far as a private school affidavit, you are on your own, but we have, in my opinion, we have the church body. We have a lot of people that do this together, and there's a lot of support groups like CHIA. So those resources are out there, but the work is still, you know, yours to do if you choose to do a private school affidavit. And then as far as curriculum, Sandy's a curriculum expert. So I have a table out there, and most of the curriculum is from her because, like I said, I don't really use curriculum with a few exceptions.
Okay.
So she can answer that as far as...
What was the question about the curriculum?
So I really was wanting to do the BJU, and they have, like, different options, and I felt like because I'm just starting off is to do, like, a, it's an audio, like, comes with the videos, it comes
yeah.
with all the mm-hmm. curriculum, and that's what I feel is guided. And then the reason I was kind of encouraged by Pacific Coast is because they have somebody that they give you that's kind of, like, keeps you...
They
okay,
do.
So you get an education
yeah.
specialist, a credentialed teacher that oversees your student.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can ask them questions. They're gonna offer resources. They're gonna maybe test your child in, you know, their reading levels, mm-hmm. things like that to help you.
they don't actually teach your children.
They won't teach.
Oh,
they're
no,
there to
yeah,
equip
no,
you.
Okay.
And they aren't necessarily going to whoever you have as your that person who oversees your child. May or may not be familiar with BJU, and they may not be able to answer any questions about that.
Okay.
It is a valid curriculum to use,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to stop you from using it.
Yeah.
Whether or not they will accept the samples of the work
gotcha.
From it
okay.
is going to be dependent on which charter you're enrolled in and what their
okay.
requirements are.
Okay.
What did you mean when you said, like, non-curriculum versus curriculum? Like, what...
So, and it's like most people don't
yeah.
understand. So I don't use curriculum. So, and that's what you mean, like what?
Yeah, what's the contrast between using, not using?
Yeah, so a curriculum will kind of explain, okay, this week you're teaching this in language arts or in grammar.
So somebody else is developing it.
So someone's developing it, and they make it easy for you because they hand it to you. Usually it comes in a kit. You, like, got all your manipulatives. Generally, most curriculums aren't quite as hands-on as I prefer. And that curriculum is also... sometimes so specific that it's hard to teach your children together if you want to do your whole family. An example might be we do all of our science and history together from my 14-year-old to my 6-year-old. And so that means that we're integrating some higher-level stuff and some stuff that's lower, which is just hard to do if you're using a curriculum because it hands you one thing for a specific aged child.
So curriculum meaning just, you know, when you get your textbook and you have chapter
mm-hmm.
1 through chapter 30...
Yeah.
You would just open, go cover to cover, and
right.
each chapter has a test and review questions and things like that. That would be your curriculum. She
so,
doesn't do that. She
yeah.
she chooses. We're going to
better for you and the way you want to teach.
The way
for
that
her
yeah,
family.
And that just
yes.
depends on what works. So yeah, so I
yep.
look at the state standards because for the most part, not all the way, I teach the state standards. So like I have a third grader this year. She's learning fractions, multiplication. There's a few big things in math. I make sure that we learn those things, but we do it with more hands-on activities. Instead of necessarily doing the order that
they're still standards, like they're still that you have to.
They're still learning the same things.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it a different
way. What, like you have to meet some sort of the test or anything like that to certify that they're there at that level or how do that?
Yes and no.
So it's pretty much wide open as far as
it pretty much is. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a private school affidavit, it is whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
With the charter schools, it's. So if you don't know the current state of California, almost all students in public schools are below grade level. So they're not necessarily expecting you to be at grade level. They do require a few assessments during the year. But if your kids aren't at the level, there's nothing they can do about it. They will offer to support you. They will see what can we do to help you.
What is the level, though? Like, where is that? What is that called? What is it found? Like the.
So you can find it on the California State website.
Okay, so it's just... presented there. Like
it's the same test you use public schools. They have this thing called the dashboard. And you can actually see school by school, you can evaluate those standardized test scores, including a school like PCA. It's all public knowledge so that parents and community members can see how effective the local schools are.
Okay.
So if that makes sense. And it'll tell you what they're supposed to be learning as well.
Basically, the state of California, they're so the kids' standards are low because they're not meeting them, that they just don't... really
they're low.
They put, like,
they're low, a little bit low, but it's also just that education in California is failing.
Yeah.
You can blame 100,000 things. COVID is the current one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can say are the fault.
Right.
But just to say, so they're not going to say, you're doing a terrible job, your kid is a grade below in math, your kid's 4 grades below in math. That's actually very, very common currently, and there's really nothing they can do about it besides offer you supports. Yeah. So you're not going to get, like, kicked out or something like that.
So,
oh, yeah, no, it's just interesting.
So if you're homeschooling full-time, you can choose to keep up with all those state
mm-hmm.
standards. You could choose to go beyond what the standards are, or you could choose to stay not necessarily below them, but off of their track
mm-hmm.
and decide for yourself what it is that you want to be doing with your student. Now, obviously you love your kids and you want them to be educated. You want them to be able to graduate literate, that they can read and write and do math, right? So most homeschool parents, actually, their children are actually, they test higher mm-hmm. than most public school children.
Like by huge amounts.
By a lot. Because when you're at home, let's move on, and what we want to talk about, you get to individualize to each child their learning style, or like her family likes hands-on manipulatives. I've used BJU before. I didn't particularly care for it for me and my family, because as a school, like a private school using that curriculum, it works because it's great in a classroom with one grade level. Well, I had 7 children, and at any one time, I'd have multiple kids in multiple grades, and it was more work for me because I had to be this teacher who had to set up a whole lot using that curriculum to educate my child. I had to be really involved. It wasn't an easy curriculum for me to use or for them to use independently. So I chose other stuff. And I would pick things that are easy for me to use and easy for them to use, things that they enjoyed learning about. Not necessarily, I want you to learn this because why? You know, I know with classical conversations, they learn Latin and everything else. They learn to write it. They learn to read it, speak it, and all that. But, you know, except for the basic word roots, you know, of like Latin and Greek and stuff, I don't think they need to learn a dead language necessarily, unless I'm going to have a child who's going to be...
If they're interested,
or a child who wants to learn that classical style of literature, art, and things like that, because it really interests them. Yes?
Well, I'll say that, like Latin, stuff like that, they say that you're still a teacher, mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. still choose, you know, so like...
Yeah.
Our son has no interest, so we don't do that.
Oh, good. So you are already allowing that flexibility.
But on the community days, you know, we've allowed, you know, we told the teacher, hey, he's not doing Latin, but we tell him, hey, you just got to sit there and pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not requiring anything out of you or anything like that, but so that you're not, you know, sitting in the back of the class during that session. You know, so they do have...
Some flexibility there.
Because we all, you know, it still falls back to we are the teachers.
So that's where you get to choose, you know, for your child. Mm-hmm. You also get to choose where you want to school, right? Inside, outside, you know, on the road, on vacation, on the mission field. Which curriculum you want to use, again, like we just described. So the beauty of this is you get to make an individualized education for your child. you get to tailor... all of it to your child's individual strengths and interests. So, for example, her kids love doing project-based, basically, how would you say that? They're proving that they learned it by... They've proved that they've learned what they've learned by doing a project together. So what is a project? What do you mean by project? What does that look like mm-hmm. in your house, Lily?
They could be a lot of different things, and I have some examples I could show you. For science right now, we're in the middle of doing a DNA kit. And so my mm-hmm. kids have done, and that's a science kit I bought on Amazon. And so they're compiling things, and then I have them do write-ups for some of it. And obviously, each one of my kids, they're at different levels, so they look vastly different what these writers are, but we're learning that part together.
Learning the same thing for multiple grade levels.
Now, for language arts and math, that's a little different. It's harder to combine different age kids, so they do other things. One of my older daughters, for their math project, is doing a thing. They have like the pumpkin catapult contests. She's doing quadratic equations using some data from some of these contests she found online. So it looks different things. For the little kids, it's a lot more fun. You know, they're in the fun things. So we do a lot of projects, hands-on, build it, a lot of STEM-based things. And you can always tie language arts into any of those.
Yeah. And some kids will, they're more verbal. I had one child who would read his science book, and instead of answering on a piece of paper, especially with sons, they don't particularly like writing. So I had five boys. So I would let him just verbally tell me what he read about and what he learned about. And it was great for him for communication because he's having adult-type conversation. He's explaining something to me, what he learned. I'm sitting there going, oh, I didn't know that. I learned something new today, too, you know. It was great. I'm chopping veggies, and he's explaining. And we'd still do the written test, and then you could choose, you know, some kids have a hard time with memorization, but so maybe you could do open book tests with them. And so you can tailor it individually to each child, to what their strengths are. Teach multiple kids using the same books and different grade levels, but you're using the same curriculum for those multiple grades at the same time. You also get to choose how the learning is assessed, right? Mm-hmm. Like she said, is it going to be a project-based? Is it going to be a test-based? Is it going to be verbal assessment? You know, are you going to do a lab, an experiment? What's it going to be? You get to choose. Or reports. Some people love, like, the classic school where you do a 10-page report, you know, at the end of a semester.
Right. And you do get to choose. I mean, so mm-hmm. during different seasons, I have my kids take tests. I always do open book tests because, and we've talked about this before, for me, it's more important that my kids know where to find the answer than that they memorize everything. Mm-hmm. Not every family is like that. I want them to have mastery but not as much memorization. Where some families are like, no, we're doing those timed multiplication tests every day. And that's okay. You get to choose and what works for your kids.
You get to hold your kid back, you know, in a subject, a grade level, or you can excel them ahead several grade levels. You know, mm-hmm. it's all individualized. Okay, so how old are your students? What grade levels, I should say?
8-year-old and...
No, he's 10.
We forgot the last 2 years. We're basically 10 and 16.
10 and 16, okay.
No. And they're both, they've both been homeschooled?
Yeah.
Okay. And yours?
We just have our 6-year-old.
Okay.
We have two younger ones, but they're not even...
school age yet.
And we have a 3-year-old. So it'd be primarily just her.
Okay.
But you still have to keep that in consideration because you have three people plus yourself around all the time.
Yes.
So that is going to influence a lot the decisions you make as far as your homeschooling journey.
Yeah. So as your kids get into the older grade levels, you're going to want to start preparing them for their graduation in college. So it's kind of important that at junior high level, you've already decided I'm going to make sure my children, you know, there's different graduation requirements, and this paper is on the table that Kathy Berglund is at. There's high school graduation requirements with the state of California, and then there's college requirements. So they're different. If you just need a diploma, you don't have to do several years of a certain subject like science or whatever.
Or language.
But if you want to have them be able to get sent off to college and not start at like a university and not start at a community college, you are going to have higher standards and more grade levels. Maybe it's 2 years of a language instead of just 1 year. So that's important to pay attention to, and you want to get them set up for that at the start of their high school years because you need enough units and you need the right classes. So it's important to kind of pre-think and plan that ahead of time. So that's something to consider. And if you're looking for transcripts and diplomas and things like that, the Homeschool Legal Defense Attorney website, there's one of those papers out there. That's the best one to go to. It's for this purpose, it's the best one to go to. You can just input their grades and you pay, and they will write up a transcript for you, an official transcript that is transferable to the colleges. They'll even give you a diploma with a seal on it for your student in the case, like a regular diploma you'd get at any school. It's a beautiful thing. They're great also for the younger grade levels if you're just wanting to have the help and support that Homeschool Legal Defense Attorney website will give, which is they have lawyers on retainer. If you ever run into trouble, they will come to your aid. So let's go on to, we've got only a couple more minutes. So let's just kind of briefly go through this real quick.
Okay. You mean do more family time?
Yeah, family time. This is another benefit.
So again, it depends on how you homeschool, but you can be more intentional in how you build relationships, because now you have another place where you're building relationships, not just with your school-aged children, but your other children as well. And part of that is building like a passion for learning. So learning is fun. It involves you as the parents. It could involve siblings, grandparents, friends, church groups, clubs, community. I'm sure a lot of you, your kids are involved in a few other things at least, even if it's along with you. You also have more time at home together for fun, for life events, for unexpected things, like sicknesses, for expected things, like, oh, we're having another baby. You know, that could be all over the place. And all of those are still opportunities for homeschooling, even if it doesn't look the way that you might expect it to look. There's so many activities that are schooling. It could be watching a video. We check out videos from the library all the time to watch about different things that we're learning about and keep them there just when we want to use them, you know, and we don't have to spend our own money on it. But you also connect about the real things of life in deep discussions, especially with younger kids. My older kids ask less questions, but this still comes up, is you get these questions about the real issues of discipling, so much bigger than the math that you're teaching them. And being there available for that, that's how you really disciple them and shape them.
You said about the funding. So what does that look like for the independent homeschool education?
You are funding everything yourself.
Funding everything yourself, okay. Mm-hmm. You said you didn't have to pay for the videos, so it's just because you're
going to... No, that's from the library. So I check out some stuff from the library. We actually check out a lot of videos and a lot of just books. So whatever we're learning in science history...
Using the free resources.
Yes, I'll check out 10 books about ancient Egypt, and I'll just keep them around the house. And it keeps my kids interested, mm-hmm. and it's fun, and then I don't have to teach as much because mm-hmm. they're kind of getting it from other sources.
And that's one mm-hmm. of the things, we could just jump to that,
yeah.
The out-of-pocket expenses. You know, you're buying the curriculum, the workbooks, whatever it is that you choose to use with them, the manipulatives, any extracurricular activities, whether that's a sport or art or, you know, something, music lessons, things like that, any lab kits, experiment kits, you know, those kind of things. However, some of that cost can be buffered with either, I know Lily Schwarm here for years has been checking things out of a library.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, a big fan.
She's a big fan of that, and so that's free. Maybe there's other parents. If you're in a group, a community of people, they have curriculum, then you can swap, you know, mm-hmm. and trade and borrow from each other.
Yeah, and getting to know those families who, like, my youngest is 6 now. I'm aging out, and I'm finally starting to get rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. So don't just hang out with the peers. Hang out with the people a couple years ahead of you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of blessings.
And
there.
I believe Chia has conferences every year, mm-hmm. and some of them are with used curriculum and new curriculum.
Used curriculum sale.
Not anymore?
But,
okay.
We have lots of curriculum providers in our exhibit hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and there are used curriculum fairs.
Resources online.
Online, you can look up to see if there's any used curriculum fairs that are happening near where you're living.
It can save you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
We go to those, and I don't even have to buy curriculum.
Yeah.
Heritage has a used curriculum sale at all their class days every year.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fabulous. So, I've gone to those for a few years.
Heritage, which is under your PSP mm-hmm. option.
And the Raising Arrows Ministry here at Foothills currently is doing one once a year as well, where they, mm-hmm. it's just a giveaway. It's not even a sale.
It's a giveaway.
So.
Yep. So there are options mm-hmm. For free curriculum. So go ahead, continue.
Skip back to this? Or
yeah.
I'm gonna.
We've got like 1 minute. We got to wrap it up.
And I just want to do one last thing, and that is you probably already experienced this, but with homeschooling, this would be, it's a vast change because you are now the parent and the teacher. And it requires a lot of how you run your home and what kind of a parent you're going to be. I strongly recommend Danny Neitz's class, Parenting the Younger Child, if you haven't taken it yet, because having some of those family things, family like rules, family vision, having those in place makes homeschooling, when you now have your children for more time a day and you're enforcing more things, significantly easier and it's more cohesive. So you're not required to run your home like a traditional public school, but the schoolwork still has to get done, whatever it is that you decide that is. Take a class, get a mentor, meet with other families, glean off of them. And even if you don't feel qualified to teach, there is enough wisdom here, but also available to you, you know, with the internet and books and things like that, that you can do it. So even when you feel like you don't have enough.
And I know one family that they will, she actually will hire a babysitter to come a couple days a week for a couple of hours at a time to watch the younger ones while she's working one-on-one with some of the older ones. So that's a way to, that's something to think about if you needed help in your homeschool day.
Grandparents are great for that, too.
And grandparents, yeah.
Since you'll be living close to them.
Okay, so I said we'd answer, won't my kids be weird? No, they won't. If you're the kind of parent who is happy to have conversation with your kids, allow them to be individuals and be the person that they are in, engaging in the things that interest them, and you're in, and you're discussing it and engaging in it with them, they're not going to be weird. If anything, they're going to begin to excel in ways that you weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm. Erica totally said it interesting. I told her that, and I said, yeah, we have some family members who are not big on the private or homeschooling front, and she said, I want my kid to be weird, but not in the sense, like, I want them to be not like the world. I want them to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for my kids, too, because people see it as weird. I'm like, then they're weird. Because they're not going to be like, you know, the world.
Yes.
Well, it's like on that. I mean, we also have a 19-year-old, and Grandma always said, you know, if you want, you know, when you graduate high school, you get to, you know, I will take you on a trip. So she just got back from a week and a half of floating down the Rhine River.
Mm.
So Switzerland, Germany, and all that, and I think, you know, contributed a lot to the homeschool and stuff like that. It was like she was able to
talk to everybody,
you know, and she's having adult conversations, whether that's history, you know, religion and stuff like that, where it was just like, you know, they were going back and forth, talking to different, you know, different things, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, but also, she really got into the history. You know, so while she was over there, she was, you know, going through the World War II stuff and all, you know, the different
Anne Frank house.
And
wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. You really get to focus on their strengths instead of trying to pigeonhole them into who the school district wants.
But as far as, like, the weird aspect of it, it's like, you know, you were saying the homeschools generally, you know, are scoring higher, and she was able to
conversations with them.
Yeah, I found that my kids were able to, because we would discuss a lot while we were at home and talk about what they were learning. And because they had to tell me about it, that meant they were using verbiage and language that they wouldn't have otherwise, because they're explaining what they read in the book. And so they were good communicators. They weren't shy to talk to adults, you know.
I will say, with girls, sometimes it's like, could you please stop talking? We've talked enough for the day. She had mostly boys, so. There are times I'm like, I'm going to go hide in the bathroom for 10 minutes.
When you come back, my daughter barely talks to me about her day.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Well, that'll change.
Yep.
That'll change. Okay, so I don't know if there's more questions. If you can hold them for
Write them down
on the card, on the note card.
And we'll be doing the Q&A.
And then any questions that you might have for some of the other options from those speakers, because we're going to have the panel time of Q&A.
Yeah.
But let's end and go get lunch.